Bibles, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been looking at separation. And the first lesson about a month ago showed you how big the topic of separation in the Bible is. When God says, I save you, okay, you know, there's that old song, and, you know, we used to sing it with the teenagers. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And then we would alternate the sides. There's been a great, great change since I've been born. And that's supposed to be the standard. But in a day where where our society is fed narcissism and hedonism, that's living for pleasure, because of the social network that's being developed, everything is about self. And as our society gets more and more selfish, it becomes more difficult for them to read the Bible and accept the fact that God doesn't approve of everything they do. And our society doesn't like to be told no. In other words, nobody, this statement, nobody tells me what to do, not even God. I do what I want to do. That's your American lifestyle, materialism, living for money and things like that. So as we come to this topic of separation, we're looking at different issues of what God says to separate from and what God says, what God tells us we should part with. And as you look at verse 13, now 2 Timothy, Paul's in jail and he's waiting to get his head cut off, and this is the last book God uses him to pen. So he makes a request, and it says here in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. The only clothes you had in jail back then is what people brought to you, and the only food you had back then is what people brought to you. Okay? If they didn't bring you food, you heard the old thing of bread and water. They didn't spend money on you in jail. And keep in mind too about the Roman jail. The Roman jail couldn't have been, I mean, the city, the national jail couldn't have been bigger than one quarter of this room. Okay? The only reason you went to jail in Rome is because you were awaiting death sentence. That was it. Paul's waiting, you know, and you weren't there a long time. Many times Paul is going to end up here towards the last part of his life. He's going to be in a light chain. You say, what's a light chain? That's where a guard is there. There's no chain. But if Caesar wants to meet, he appealed to Nero. Bad dude to appeal to. Nero was crazy. He had his mom killed. All types of psychotic. He was a twisted, demon-possessed, evil idiot. Okay, so here's Paul appealing to Nero, and when Nero gave the signal, I want to meet with him now, it was that guard's job to get Paul there in an hour, or it was that guard's life. So they called it a light chain. But we know how the story ends. Paul gets his head cut off, but this is a little bit. He says, hey, it gets cold, could you bring the cloak, could you bring something for me to cover up at night? And the old man, he's probably in his 60s. I don't think 70s, but he may be. I know he's 60s or 70s. I don't think he's in his 80s. But here's this old man. He's saying, hey, I need the coat. Bring the coat with you so I have something to cover up with. And watch closely. It says, and the books, but especially the parchments. What are parchments? Parchments would be animal skins it's what they wrote the scrolls on. You know, like a book like this that's bound here and you open it this way, this doesn't come along until about the 5th century, okay? Before books were like this, how did you read a book? Scrolls, right? You unrolled it. Well, what was it written on? It was written on animal skins, parchments. And here's what he said. He said, when you come, I need a coat. He said, bring some books. He said, the books I like. And he said, but most of all, bring the parchments. What's that a picture of? That's going to be bring the scriptures. Now, keep in mind, nobody carried a whole Bible. You couldn't carry, okay, the New Testament is in letter form right now, circulating around. It's not assembled until, what we know is the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, is not assembled till about 150. Okay, so you could say another 100 years, the Bible, the New Testament, but still, it would come in scroll form. It would not be like this, like what we get to carry. We get to carry Genesis to Revelation. Isn't that great? So what was so there was no New Testament yet, but he's asking for the parchments or the scriptures that have been circulated. It's 64 AD. Okay, the persecution's getting ready to roll out by Rome. A lot of Christians are getting ready to die, Paul being one of them, Peter being one. He's going to go after them. However, there are letters circulated around the churches written by the apostles that they are going to put in the New Testament. So that's what he's asking. He said, bring the books, but most of all, bring the parchments, especially the parchments. This morning's lesson is on reading material for a Christian. And if you took... this is one of those topics. If you teach or preach on prayer, everybody agrees, right? Prayer is the most important thing a Christian does. And nobody would say, no, it's not. Nobody would say, no, that's stupid. So everybody agrees on prayer. It's just getting people to pray. Because it's a lot easier to talk about prayer than it is to pray. Right? It's a lot easier to study prayer than it is to actually get on your knees and pray. Here's another topic. Bible reading. The lesson this morning is not on reading your Bible and its importance. I preach messages on that. The lesson is on what do you choose to read out of all that's available to us. That's what the Sunday school lesson's on. But you know, when you teach on reading your Bible, it's the one subject everybody goes, oh yeah, I can make this statement. The Bible's the most important book you can read. Nobody's going to go, no, it's not. Right? Everybody agrees with that. But getting people to read their Bible, okay, it's a whole nother issue, whole nother hill to climb. So the lesson this morning, yes, I'm going to hit the importance of Scripture, but the lesson is, when the importance of you reading, does God have control over what you allow to put into your mind through your eyes? Because when you look at language, there's spoken language and written, right? Then if you take the written languages, and let's just take English, and you divide it, there's religious, there's documentary or how-to books, and then there's fiction. And then let's get one more specific. In the religious realm, there's biblical religious books, and then there's psychology books. That's what you find at the bookstores, Christian bookstores. Most of it is Christian psychology, psychologists that put a few Bible verses in there, but most of it's worldly psychology. How to be happy. How to, you know, as far as, they're not biblical, they're psychology, intellectual slough type stuff. They're not biblical based. That's the best I can tell you. All the big church pastors, the churches New Life, Real Life, all the big churches around here, every one of their pastors has a psychology degree. They were taught secularly. They have a degree in psychology, and when they stand up before the people, they tell them Freudian, psychology, with a few Bible verses in there, and it sounds really good, but that's how come it's all self-help stuff. That makes sense? So when it comes to religious, what's marketed in America is the psychology. There is biblical teaching. You know, I think I told you 2 weeks ago, Spurgeon said a good Christian has the Bible under one arm and a book about the Bible under the other. Now, you can't read everything, but hopefully you're selective in who you read. But this morning's lesson is on the importance of, okay, you say, how come this is so important? The internet's only 25 years old. 1995, Windows 95, and all that stuff, and then it started circulating. So the internet's only 28 years old, going on 30. Anybody got a phone? Who's got a phone? Good. Can you pass me his phone? Interesting thought. Follow carefully. The learning of mankind in 6,000 years of learning is now accessible on a device you can carry in your pocket. Think about that just for a second. You want to look up anything from this, from Greece, translated from Greek, Aristotle, Plato. I'm talking 6,000 years of learning. You can pretty much look up anything, and if it's not translated, you can tell it to translate it, and it translates it. So more information or more things to read is available now than has ever been in the history of mankind. Yet, we're dealing with a society that's getting dumbed down. Okay, you would think if the Bible's on the phone and the Bible's here and there's more accessible, people would learn more about the Bible. People are learning less about the Bible. Our society is not getting smarter. The kids are graduating not able to. I understand it's part of the education system. I'm just saying we have a society that's going down, this is not benefiting anything. However, that means, and people are reading more than they've ever, listen closely, more than they've ever read. You say, okay, well, what's the problem? They read texts, they read emails, they read messages, but nobody's reading books. You know what a text is, right? That's where somebody sends you a message in a sentence form, you read it, and then you respond. Maybe they send you three sentences, but that's all you read. You never follow a path of thought from chapter to chapter to chapter. That is what grows you mentally. There's something that happens. Reading, that's why, here we go, here's the danger, and I'll get into the lesson here in just a second. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. Before World War II, we were a word-based society. We read. Everybody did, because TV didn't exist. After World War II, TVs and worked in by the 1950s, pretty much TV was in almost every home. Not all, but it was in almost every home. And we went from being a reading, word-based society to a picture, movie-based society, which is dangerous because you ever seen altered pictures? Modified pictures? You ever seen altered movies? How they can take a movie and alter it? A society that is based only on pictures and movies is more easily deceived and more easily led because they don't read. And someone said, well, I just don't read books. I'm not a reader. Here's the danger. If you don't read, you are forever at the mercy of those who do. And you have to trust. For instance, if you don't read your, let's just take the Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you are at my mercy, hoping I tell you what's right. That's not supposed to be Christianity. What's supposed to be Christianity is when you read your Bible, we come to church, I herald, preach, teach what you've already read at some time. If you're new Christian, I think you know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about Christianity is we all focus on that book, but I'm not the only one reading it, telling you what it says. You rejoice that the truth is being heralded, and that's what centers us as a church. Does everybody understand that? But if you don't read your Bible, we're hurting. You say, well, no, Pastor, that's your job. Your job is preach that book. I understand that. But once again, what happens when a society goes from word and reading to, you got a movie on that? You got a video on that? You got pictures on that? Now everything's picture-based. Everything. Short little messages, reading, and as our society, you're watching it get dumbed down. So yes, people are reading more than they've ever read. But it's not good reading. You understand? I didn't say it was filthy reading. It's not health. It doesn't help your life like before World War II when TV wasn't available. Okay. Movies were just starting to get in the swing there in the early 1900s. They went from silent to sound, black and white to sound to all that stuff. Okay. Here we go. Thank you. You can pass that back to him. So reading. It's what do you read when you get a chance to read what you want to read? Knowing this, reading is the foundation of education. That's the other dangerous thing. What's it say in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As a matter of fact, you're in 2 Timothy. Go to the Old Testament. Go to Hosea and watch what knowledge God is talking about here. In Hosea, it's going to be right after the book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, then Hosea. Okay? So when you go to Hosea, look at chapter 4, verse 6, and what a judgment of God. But Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, right after Daniel. Okay? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Ready? Here we go. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. The knowledge God's talking about is the knowledge of his word. So what destroys God's people? They don't have a working knowledge of the Bible. Yeah, it's a good book, and oh yeah, it's changed lives, and boy, what would we do without the Bible? But they don't read it. So my people, God says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what's it say in Matthew 22:29? Ye do err, and in one book, Jesus said, ye do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures. Your greatest mistakes in life will be because you didn't know how to apply the Bible to that section of your life, and you blew it. And it wasn't God's fault, because God told us, God gave us the answer to everything we'll ever face in this book. The problem is, it's not read. There's not a time. It's, I'll read it if I get around to it. Yeah, I'll read it if there's nothing good on TV. Yeah, I'll read, you know, okay. So, reading is the foundation of education. Look, I'm teaching on Baptist history on Sunday nights. You can't learn history without reading. You say, no, that's your job, Pastor. You read and tell us what you read. I can get you started. I can whet your appetite, but I can't read for you. You ever hear somebody say, you know, okay, if I took, most movies are based off of books that were written beforehand. Not all, but most. Have you ever heard somebody say, I saw the movie and I read the book and I liked the book a lot more? That's mostly said most of the time. You know why? You got about, 500 to 900 pages of description. Took you about, 10 hours to read the book. Took you an hour and a half to watch the movie. How are you going to fit 10 hours of information into a movie? So they cut things out and trim things down. I'll say it again. Reading is the foundation of education. And God just designed it. God designed reading to be foundational for our society. Now that you've gone to Hosea, go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4. You know, I didn't ask their permission, but I think they'll agree with me, okay? Here we go. I'm going to take, you know, Miss Minami and Miss Iku, they're working at learning English better, right? And it's an ongoing journey, right? Well, once you get past, obviously you got to learn verb structure and basic sentence structure. You got to know what a noun is, okay? They don't struggle there. But nothing accelerates, once you get past that point, nothing accelerates like reading. The more they read, the more the language is settled. And most missionaries will tell you that when they're learning a different language. Once you get past sentence structure, now what do? We read. And what is the King James Bible? It's perfect English. It's the only book in the world that's perfect English. Grammar. Verb structure, sentence, all of that. It's the only book in the world that's perfect English. So the more you right? The more that throws, goes through your mind. I know. Look at Philippians 4:8. Ready? Here's a checklist. Watch this checklist that God gives us to think, for things to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or character, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What is reading? It is one of the ways information gets into your mind through the eye gate. What is music? It's one way information gets into your mind through the ear gate. Okay? So if I took reading is what goes, reading gives you thoughts. Thoughts give you actions. Actions give you your personality and your character. It's amazing how much starts with reading. Here God gives you a checklist, Christian. Somebody said, oh, I just read fiction. I know there's good fiction. There's, you know, then there's Christian fiction that doesn't have bad stuff in it. And then there's secular fiction. I'm for Jesus withdrew the disciples to get away from the people every once in a while. He gave them rest and relaxation. Okay. What you do for an escape, as long as it's healthy. I'll just say this. Is all you read fiction? You mean that's the only thing you read? Let me ask you this. As long as what you're reading fits that checklist, that's God's checklist. Okay. What's the first thing? Is what you're reading true? Is what you're reading honest? Is what you're reading just or fair? Is what you're reading, is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Man, that cancels out the newspaper, doesn't it? You can only handle so much of the news, you know? And I think you ought to know what's going on, but boy howdy, in this day and age, you can get... There's so much information. You can only handle so much information in a day. And you know what happens when you get too much? TMI, you ever heard of that? Too much information? Your mind shuts down. So when you spend too much time reading other stuff, when it comes time to read your Bible, you don't want to. It's not because you don't like the Bible. You're just overwhelmed with everything else because, watch this, Christian, you didn't choose what you were supposed to read. That's how come. Do your own study on it, but it says, early in the morning will I seek thee. Oh, Lord, in the morning. And there's a lot in the Bible about reading the Bible in the morning, starting your day with God. Somebody said, well, I read my Bible at night before I go to bed. I think that could be one of the times you read your Bible, but if that's your only time to read your Bible, it won't last long. You get overwhelmed, and then the best time to read your Bible, start your day with God. Put God's thoughts in your mind in the morning. And then, Christian, when you read, does it follow this checklist? Be careful. Reading material is supposed to be filtered by God's Word. What does God tell us to do with His Word? We're told to read it. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Somebody said, oh, God doesn't tell you to read the Bible. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. In John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Search the Scriptures. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, it's the only place in the King James Bible, is the only one that has it, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's the only time the word study is found in the Bible. Study. The Bible. So we're told to read God's Word. We're told to study God's Word. Biggest book in the Bible is right in the middle of the Bible. It's Psalms. It's Scripture put to music. We're told to sing God's Word. We're told to memorize God's Word. Hide it in your heart. Deuteronomy 6:5. Matter of fact, here we go. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know I could take you to Proverbs, but watch this. Fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy, all the way up towards the front. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Watch this. Ready? Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse 3. Ready? Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may be increased mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Ready? Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, watch, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You're supposed to memorize that verse. God said, hide these words in your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Look at the next verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Watch this, verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Do you get the feeling that God said the Bible should be everywhere in your house? It's talked about at night before you go to bed. It's talked about in the morning when you get up. Now, I understand they didn't have a Bible like we do, right? They heard it, they memorized it at the synagogue and the Jewish temple when they heard it read, and then they took it home. But God said, you can write it out and then stick it on your walls. It ought to be over the doorpost, so when you get ready to leave, you see the Bible verse coming out. We had Bible verses put on our bathroom mirror, up here in the corner. You're shaving and brushing your teeth, but you got scripture there. And when you get in your car, you look in the rearview mirror. And I put in mine, I come and my reward is with me, and Jesus is coming, but it's in the rearview mirror, that clear tape, that you can get, put it up there. I said that to say, do you get the feeling when you read that? Scripture was all over the Jewish house. And in a day when you can copy and paste on a computer and print the verse out, it's never been easier to put scripture all over your house. And it ought to be. You say, how come? Because we're more prone to forget than we are to remember. God tells us how to structure our home. God said, talk about it with your kids all the time. Most consider that type of a home fanatical. That's not the norm nowadays. That's like, boy, we went in their house and had the Bible everywhere. Those people are Fruit Loops, Wow, those are extremists. Well, I'd like to go into a Jewish house. God said, you teach your kids this. I said that to say, we're so far from reading the Bible. Nobody reads the Bible too much. Nobody. If anything, we're hurting in society because what? The lack of knowledge, the lack of God's Word. So when it comes to reading, what do you read when you get the chance to read? Do you read the texts and, I got an email, and I got a ding on the phone, and I got this, and I got the newspaper, and I got stocks, and I got this? When does the Bible fit into your schedule? Because everybody knows we're supposed to be doing it. To get somebody to actually do it. That's how come I can be real careful. I can be so satisfied with bleh as a pastor. I'm just tickled when I give somebody a Bible and I find out they read it. When really, I ought to be saying, when do you read it? When do you study your Bible? Because God tells us to. Do you have verses you're singing? Do you sing the Bible? I got a whole CD on it. I got 33 songs, and there's good stuff. When do you memorize the Bible? To get people to do this? Your memory's a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. It's amazing. People can memorize sports stats. This happened in 1965, Super Bowl number whatever, and this play, this down. But they can't memorize. No, you memorize what you want to memorize. You know what you memorize? What's most important to you. No, our memories work, but do you memorize scripture? Do you meditate? Out of all the things that we're supposed to do with the Bible, meditate on the Bible, think about it. It's 11 times in the Bible. It's what we're told to do most. In this busy go society, everything's fast food, fast this, fast that. Don't wait on nothing. Everything's instant prime delivery 2 days later. When do you sit down and just think about Scripture. Normally it happens after you would read the Bible, then you would think about how God's applying it to your life. But to get somebody to slow down and stop and think and meditate, that's almost unheard of. But I can get so satisfied as a pastor, you know. Once again, I'll give somebody a Bible and they'll read it. And I'm like, yay, but there's so much more they're supposed to do with it. I need to be careful I don't get satisfied. But this is America. You know what I mean? And I know the pulls of our society. We read the Bible so we can learn the Bible, so we can live the Bible. You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you read is so important to forming your life. Christian, I'll say it again. The lesson really isn't on, I know I've hit it, but the lesson is not on the importance of reading your Bible. The lesson is separation. Are there things you say I won't read? There should be. I don't want that in my mind. You know, when I was growing up, they had the Star magazine and then they had the Inquirer. You know, inquiring minds want to know. Remember that stupid statement? Those of you from the 70s. And my dad would always say, what a bunch of stupid idiots read that stuff. My dad always used to say, what he, we lived at a trailer park, but he said, low life, read those magazines, right? You only read that if you're low life. And he said other things, but I can't repeat it in church. But it deeply affected me. I just said that to say there was stuff that we grew up that we did, that we said, that's not going to be a part of our life. Okay. What about nowadays, now that we've got cell phones everywhere, now that we've got internet? There has to be boundaries. There's things I will not put into my mind. And then you can't, that's not far enough. It has to go this far. Let me make a strong statement. If you're not determined to read your Bible, you won't, because the devil will always have distractions. We've never lived in a day where there's more distractions, more things to sidetrack you. Oh yeah, I got to do this. And oh yeah, I got to do this. If you don't read your Bible on purpose, you won't. You'll never accidentally read your Bible. That's why the lesson this morning is on Christian. God tells us the Bible is, bring especially those parchments. Bring especially the parchments. God gives us a checklist. What do you read when it's up to you? And I would think as we get closer to Jesus coming, things are going to get crazier. Things are going to get worse before they get better. I know how it all ends. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. I know that. But we're living in perilous times. And we're seeing things we've never seen before. The insanity. I just got a call last week. Somebody called me from another church. And I don't mean to close on this, but as far as they had a young person was faithful to church, grew up in a Christian home. At 24 years old, they went out in the woods and put a shotgun in their mouth and blew their head off. You don't think that hurt a church? That would hurt everybody, let alone the parents. Dealing with things like that, as we get closer to Jesus coming, things are getting weird. You know my only hope? This book. This is the only thing that gives me stability in my life. Everything tomorrow except the Bible could change. You say, well, you got a nice house and you have a wonderful wife and you have kids. I could get a call tomorrow. One of my children is just, I'm not immune to that. One of my children could be taken in a car wreck. There's nothing I can count on tomorrow outside of this book. It is the most important thing that you read. Christian, reading material and you drawing lines as a Christian is very important. I hope this has helped you. God bless you. Gang, we need to get ready here. Can we fold up those tables in the